It's the point that having children and having wives is something that befits the creation. And the creation take wives and have children because of a need, a haja, a need which the creation have. A need with regard to Allah would be an imperfection, and Allah is free of all imperfections. Allah has no need whatsoever. There's no need whatsoever for children, there's no need for wives and wives. Because of his perfect independence. Who can remember that with regard to the ayat on Surah Ash-Shura, لَيْسَ كَمِثْلِهِ شَيْءٍ وَهُوَ السَّمِيعُ الْبَصِيرُ, the ayat that we had on Surah Ash-Shura, who can remember how this ayat is a proof for the position of Ahlul Sunnah wal Jama'ah, wa alaykum as-salamu wa rahmatullah. How this ayat, لَيْسَ كَمِثْلِهِ شَيْءٍ وَهُوَ السَّمِيعُ الْبَصِيرُ, is a proof for the position of the people of the Sunnah with regard to Allah's names and attributes. How is it a proof for that? First part of the ayah negates that there's anything like Allah, anything whatsoever, in any aspect, like Allah. And the second part of the ayah, it affirms two attributes of Allah. So the two parts of the ayah taken together show what? Shows that the correct position, the position of the people of the Sunnah, which is to affirm whatever Allah has affirmed for Himself from attributes, or to affirm for Him whatever attributes the Prophet has affirmed for Him, that this does not mean likeness with the creation. As the people of innovation say, they say, you people, you affirm these attributes to Allah, that means you've made Him like the creation. This ayah is a proof against that argument. It's a proof that affirming Allah's attributes does not mean that we liken Him to His creation. Because Allah Himself affirmed two of His attributes in His ayah. He affirmed two names which contain the two attributes, As-Sami' al-Basir, the all-hearing, and the one who hears, and the all-seeing one, the one who sees. He Himself affirmed these two names for Himself and these attributes. And at the start of the ayah, لَيْسَ كَمِثْلِهِ شَيْءٍ, that there is nothing like Him. So affirming His attributes does not in any way mean likening Him to the creation. And with regard to the next section, it begins on page 31 in the most popular version that we've got, most of us have got hold of. Then there comes a section which a heading is provided, Al-Kalam fi Asma'illahi Ta'ala wa Sifatihi, speech concerning the names and attributes of Allah the Most High. Speech concerning the names and attributes of Allah the Most High. Then the author, Imam Ibn Qudam al-Maqdisi, he began this section by saying, لَهُ الْأَسْمَاءُ الْحُسْنَى وَالصِّفَاتُ الْعُلَى. To him, of course meaning to Allah the Most High, to Him belong the most perfect names and the exalted attributes. To Him belong the most perfect names and the exalted attributes. Shaykh al-Fawzan, hafizahullah, said in his explanation, لَهُ الْأَسْمَاءُ الْحُسْنَى, to Him belong the most perfect names, he said. This contains affirmation of the names of Allah, the Mighty and Majestic, just as He affirmed them for Himself. وَلِلَّهِ الْأَسْمَاءُ الْحُسْنَى Surah Al-A'raf, the 7th surah, ayah 180. With the explanation, unto Allah belongs the most perfect names. And of course the second ayah, اللَّهُ لَا إِلَهَ إِلَّهُ لَهُ الْأَسْمَاءُ الْحُسْنَى Surah Taha, the 20th surah, ayah 8. With the explanation, Allah, none has the right to be worshipped except Him. To Him belong the most perfect names. Shaykh al-Fawzan said, so he informed that he has names. And he informed that they are husna, they are perfect, or beautiful and perfect. Meaning, tammatun kamilatun. They are complete and perfect. They do not suffer from any deficiency. That's the meaning of perfect, they have no deficiency whatsoever, so therefore they are perfect. وَالصِّفَاتُ الْعُلَى And he has the most exalted attributes. Shaykh al-Fawzan said, meaning Aliyya, meaning lofty or elevated. Then he said, and الصفات, the attributes, such as الرحمة, mercy, and العلم, knowledge, and al-qudra, ability, and al-irada, will, and as-sam'a, hearing, and al-basar, seeing. These are called as-sifat, the attributes. These are called attributes. And as for as-sami'a, the all-hearing one, al-basir, the all-seeing one, Al-Khabir, the fully aware, then these are names. So the first list there, the first six are attributes, and then the next ones he quoted, the next three that he quoted are names, As-Sami, Al-Basir, Al-Khabir. Then he makes an important principle and says, and every name from them has an attribute of Allah, the Mighty, and every name from them has an attribute of Allah, the Majestic and Most High. Every name of Allah, there is an attribute along with it. It's not just purely a name with no meaning, with no attribute, no. Every name of Allah has an attribute along with it. So he said, and gives examples. So Al-Qadir, the fully able one, includes affirmation of Al-Qudra, ability. Allah's name, that we affirm for Allah that His name is Al-Qadir, Al-Qadir, the fully able. This contains affirmation of Al-Qudra, ability. And He is the one who possesses that attribute. And His name said, and As-Sami', the all-hearing one, contains affirmation of As-Sam'a, hearing. And Al-Basir, the all-seeing, contains affirmation of Al-Basr, of seeing. And Al-Alim, the all-knowing, contains affirmation of Al-Ilm, of knowledge. And Al-Hakim, the all-wise, contains affirmation of Al-Hikmah, wisdom. This point may seem straightforward to some people, but there are people of innovation, as we've had before, there are people of innovation who deny this point. They just affirm the name, and so, for example, they say, Allah, we affirm that Allah is As-Sami, that's His name, but He doesn't hear. We affirm that He's Al-Basir, He's called the Seeing One, but He doesn't see. And as the Shaykh al-Fawzan points out, this is contrary to the truth. The truth is that Allah is Al-Basir, the All-Seeing One, and that contains affirmation that He sees. He has the attribute of seeing, and so on. Then he said, and likewise, every name from His names, every name from His names, includes an attribute from His attributes. He, the Perfect and Most High. To Him belong the most perfect names, which He named Himself with, or which His Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam quoted as being His name. And for Him are the most exalted attributes, meaning the elevated, those attributes which are elevated and which are such that nothing else resembles them. This word here, Al-Aliyya Al-Rafi'a Al-Lati La Yashbahuha Shay. There's a slight printing error, there's a noon introduced into this Al-Lati. It's just a slight printing error, it should be Al-Lati La Yashbahuha Shay. Then with regard to the text, then the Imam Ibn Qudama Al-Maqdisi, he continues quoting some ayahs. الرحمن على العرش استوى له ما في السماوات وما في الأرض وما بينهما وما تحت الثرى وإن تجهر بالقول فإنه يعلم السر وما فإنه يعلم السر وأخفى. The ayah from Surah Taha, the 20th surah, ayahs 5 and 6 and 7, with the explanation: the Most Merciful ascended over the throne. To Him belongs whatever is in the heavens, and whatever is in the earth, and whatever is between them, and whatever is beneath the soil. And if you speak out openly or quietly, then He knows that which is secret and whatever is most hidden. Shaykh al-Fawzan said, with regard to the explanation of these ayahs from the start of Surah Taha, just as He, the One Free of All Imperfection, said, تَنْزِيلًا مِمَّنْ خَلَقَ الْأَرْضَ وَالسَّمَوَاتِ الْأُولَى. That these ayahs from the start of Surah Taha are just as He, the Perfect said, are a revelation sent down from the One who created the earth and the lofty heavens. Same surah, the ayah before, ayah 4 from Surah Taha, the 20th surah. Shaykh al-Fawzan said, meaning the Qur'an was sent down from Allah, the Perfect and Most High, and it is His speech. Ar-Rahman al-Arsh istawa. This ayah 5 of Surah Taha, with the explanation, the Most Merciful ascended over the throne. Shaykh al-Fawzan said, this is one of the 7 ayahs in which Allah affirmed His istiwa, His having ascended over His arsh, His having ascended over His throne. And there are 7 ayahs in the Qur'an which affirm this, with this wording. His ascending in a real sense, as befits His Majesty, He the Perfect and Most High. And it is, what His istiwa is, His ulu, His being above the throne, the arsh. And the arsh, the throne, is something created from those things which Allah the Perfect and Most High has created. Then he explains the linguistic meaning of istawa. So he said, istawa means istiqarra. He was settled, and ala, he was high, and irtafa'a, he was elevated, He the Perfect and Most High. Elevated above it, and that he settled over it. The Majestic and Most High.
However, each of these meanings are as befits His Majesty, He the Perfect and Most High. Not being like the settling of the creation upon something else from the creation. And not being like something from the creation being above something else from the creation. Or being something from the creation being elevated over something else from the creation. No, not like that. He said, a created being, if it rises upon something, then it is in need of that thing to raise and hold it so that it does not fall. Shaykh is making the difference here between Allah's attribute and between this attribute when it's found in the creation. When something in the creation rises or is elevated above something else from the creation, rises upon it, mounts upon it, then if it's a created thing on top of something else from the creation, then the thing that's on top has need of the thing beneath it, so that it doesn't fall. It has a need of it to raise it up and hold it up and to stop it from falling. But as for Allah, the Majestic and Most High, then He has no need of the Arsh, He has no need of the throne, nor of the heavens. So here Shaykh al-Ghazan is refuting a point which some of the people of innovation raise. Again, they point their finger at the people of the Sunnah and say, you affirm that Allah is ascending over His throne, that means that He's in need of the throne. That's what you're saying. So Shaykh is answering this point. No, we do not say that. We affirm what Allah has affirmed for Himself, but He has no need of anything from His creation. So I'm just repeating Shaykh al-Ghazan said, He has no need of the Arsh, He has no need of the throne, nor of the heavens. Rather, it is the Arsh, it is the throne that is in total need of Him. And the heavens are in total need of Him. For He is the one, فَهُوَ الَّذِي يُمْسِكُهَا. Another printing error here, it should be the meme and the scene, the other way around. يُمْسِكُهَا. For He is the one who holds them, He the Perfect and Most High. And He is the one who created them. So they are in total need of Him. And He is not in need of them. So His being ascended over the throne does not resemble the ascending of some of the creation over something else from the creation. Even though the meaning is one, even though the meaning of ascending over is one and the same. However, the kayfiyah, how, and the haqiqah, the reality, these are different. In other words, the ascending of the Creator is different to the ascending of the creation. How it is different. And the reality of it is different. And he said, mention the ayah again, Ar-Rahmanu ala al-Arsh istawa, the Most Merciful ascended upon the throne. He said, this is a piece of information from Him, He the Perfect and Most High, in seven ayahs, each of them occurring with this wording, istawa ala al-Arsh, that He ascended upon the throne. And he quotes the seven ayahs, Surah Al-A'raf, the seventh surah, ayah 7. Of course, this is important, you take just a second, in case someone says you're taking that, there's a one ayah there, and you're taking it out of context. No, Shaykh making the point here. This occurs in seven separate places of the Qur'an, with the same wording each time. In Surah Al-A'raf, the seventh surah, ayah 7. And Surah Yunus, the tenth surah, ayah 3. And Surah Al-Ra'ad, the 13th surah, ayah 2. And Surah Al-Furqan, the 25th surah, ayah 59. And Surah Al-Sajda, the 32nd surah, ayah 4. And Surah Al-Hadid, the 57th surah, ayah 57. He said, and he's saying in Surah Taha, the ayah that's here in the text, Ar-Rahmanu ala al-Arsh istawa, the Most Merciful ascended upon
the throne.
And he continues with the rest of it, the next part of the ayah, لَهُ مَا فِي السَّمَوَاتِ, that whatever is in the heavens, everything in the heavens belongs to him. لَهُ belongs to him. Taha, ayah 6. He said, to him belongs whatever is in the seven heavens, from created beings, from the angels and other than them. وَمَا فِي الْأَرْضِ, and whatever is upon the earth. Sheikh said, meaning from created beings, all of them belong to him, the perfect and most high, whether it be humans or cattle or jinn or mankind or animals or birds or other than that. Everything which crawls upon the earth and walks upon the earth and is found upon the earth, then it belongs to Allah, the perfect and most high. He is in charge of it and in control of it, and he gives provision to it. He, the perfect and most high. وَمَا بَيْنَهُمَا, and whatever is between the two of them. Sheikh said, meaning whatever is between the heavens and the earth with regard to created beings which are not known except to him. So that is owned by him, he the perfect and most high. وَمَا بَيْنَهُمَا وَمَا تَحْتَ الثَّرَى, whatever is between the two of them and whatever lies beneath the soil. Sheikh Al-Fawzan said, meaning whatever is beneath the surface of the earth and the face of the earth, from created beings, or created, when I say created beings, anything created, makhluqat, anything created. Sheikh said, from minerals and from the dead, beneath the soil, the minerals that lie beneath the soil and the dead, those dead things that lie beneath the soil. All of them belong to Allah, the Perfect and Most High. And they are His, they belong to Him, and He is the one who created them. وَإِن تَجْهَرْ بِالْقَوْلِ فَإِنَّهُ يَعْلَمُ السِّرَّ وَأَخْفَى. The seventh ayah, with the explanation that if you speak openly or quietly, in the explanation of Tabari and others, they mentioned it, it's understood in the ayah that it means if you speak openly, it's clearly mentioned, meaning, and if even if you speak quietly or speak very quietly, then he knows that which is hidden, he knows that which is secret, and he knows that which is most hidden. Sheikh Al-Fawzan said, that which is said openly and that which is said secret, or that which is kept secret, is just the same in his knowledge, he the perfect and most high. He hears that which is said loudly, and he hears what is said secretly. وَأَخْفَى, and that which is most hidden. Sheikh said, meaning more hidden than that which is secret. Nothing is hidden from him, he the perfect and most high. اللَّهُ لَا إِلَهَ إِلَّا هُ, Allah, none has the right to be worshipped except him. The eighth ayah. Sheikh said, meaning, لَا مَعْبُودَ بِحَقٍ سِوَاهُ, and none has the right to be worshipped in truth besides him. لَهُ الْأَسْمَاءُ الْحُسْنَى, to him belong the perfect names. Sheikh said, that's the eighth ayah also. Sheikh said, so this is affirmation of the names for Allah, the Perfect and Most High. Affirmation of the names for Him, and that they are husna, perfect. Each and every one of them is beautiful and perfect, complete and perfect, free from deficiency and defect.
You're free from having something missing, free from having something wrong with anything. Then the author, if you go to the text of the Imam Ibn Qudamah, he continues, أَحَافَ بِكُلِّ شَيْءٍ عَلْمًا. He encompassed everything with his knowledge. He encompassed everything, he covered and included everything within his knowledge. Shaykh al-Fawzan said, أَحَاطَ بِكُلِّ شَيْءٍ عَلْمًا. He encompassed everything with his knowledge. He said, his knowledge encompasses everything that has ever been in the past and that will ever be in the future, and whatever is not known except by him, he the perfect and most high. Everything occurs with his knowledge, he the perfect and most high. There is nothing that occurs except with his knowledge. Some of the people of knowledge mentioned that with regard to Allah's knowledge, then we affirm that Allah knows everything that has ever been and everything that is and everything that will ever be and everything that will not be, how it would be if it were to occur. He the perfect and most high. Then with regard to the text of Ibn Qudamah, rahimahullah, then he continues, وَقَهَرَ كُلَّ مَخْلُوقٍ عِزَّةً وَحُكْمًا. He has subdued every created being to his might and his judgment. He has subdued every created being to his might and his judgment. Shaykh al-Fawzan said, Habibullah, qahara kulla makhluqin. He has subdued every created being. He said, meaning, he has caused it to submit to his sovereignty. He the perfect and most high. Every created being, every created thing. There is not any created thing that is an exception to that. Neither the rich people, nor the poor, neither the kings, nor the subjects, nor the angels, nor the prophets, nor the messengers, not any of the created beings, or any of the created things, all of them are subdued by Allah, the perfect and most high, under his control and his subjugation. He the perfect and most high, and under his management, he the one free of all imperfections and the most high. No one can escape that. So this contains a refutation of those who claim that there are some awliya, there are some beloved servants of Allah, and there are some aqtab, the plural of qutub, there are some righteous people, they claim, who are pivots for the creation, who can cause things to happen within the creation. As is stated by the evil heretics from the Sufis. So here, Shaykh al-Fawzan mentioned, this point is a refutation of them, of those evil heretics, those who say there are certain awliya, certain beloved servants of Allah, who now they occupy a position, and certain ones that they call aqtab or qutb, they say there are certain crucial individuals in the creation whom Allah has given them a share of lordship, they'll have a share of lordship, they control things that happen within the creation. So Shaykh al-Fawzan mentioned this is a refutation of them. Then he said, Izzatan, that Allah has subdued every created being, Izzatan in might, meaning in quwwah, in might, wa hukman, and to his judgment. Shaykh al-Fawzan said, meaning everything is under his judgment, he the perfect and most high.
He caused it to submit to him. He, the one free of all imperfections and the Most High. He is in control of it and in charge of it. And nothing can rebel, nothing whatsoever can rebel against him. He, the perfect and Most High. Then the Imam Ibn Qudama al-Maqdisi rahimahullah, he continued, وَوَسِعَ كُلَّ شَيْءٍ رَحْمَةً وَعِلْمًا. And he has encompassed everything with his mercy and his knowledge. Allah the Most High. He has encompassed everything, he has covered everything with his mercy and his knowledge. Shaykh al-Fawzan said, وَسِعَ كُلَّ شَيْءٍ رَحْمَةً وَعِلْمًا. He has encompassed, and he has encompassed everything with his mercy and his knowledge. He said, his mercy covers everything. He the Most High said, وَرَحْمَتِي وَسِعَتْ كُلَّ شَيْءٍ. Surah Al-A'raf, the 7th Surah, Ayah 156. With the explanation that Allah the Most High said about himself, and my mercy encompasses everything. Then Shaykh al-Fawzan said, and his knowledge, his ilm, his knowledge also encompasses everything. As has preceded, يَعْلَمُ مَا بَيْنَ أَيْدِيهِمْ وَمَا خَلْفَهُمْ. Surah Taha, 20th Surah, Ayah 110. With the explanation that he knows whatever is in front of them and whatever is behind them. The point that came last week. Allah the Most High knows whatever is in front of them in the future and whatever is behind them in the past. وَيَعْلَمُ مَا فِي السَّمَاوَاتِ وَمَا فِي الْأَرْضِ. Surah Ali Imran, the 3rd Surah, Ayah 29. With the explanation, and He, Allah, knows whatever is in the heavens and whatever is upon the earth. Shaykh al-Fawzan said, so nothing is hidden away from his knowledge, He the Perfect and Most High. His knowledge covers all things, contrary to the created being. Because he knows one thing and is ignorant of many things. In a person, he will know one thing and be ignorant of many things. But as for Allah, the Majestic and Most High, then He knows everything. Nothing whatsoever is hidden from Him. He knows, He the Perfect and Most High, every single thing. And His mercy covers everything. Even the unbelievers, they are covered by the mercy of Allah the Perfect and Most High. With the meaning. And what does that mean? As he said, Allah's mercy covers even the unbelievers, he said, meaning that Allah gives them provision and He gives them afiyah, He gives them health and security, and He gives them whatever they have need of. So this is from His mercy, His rahmah, He the Perfect and Most High. And even the animals, they live beneath His mercy. They live beneath the mercy of Allah the Perfect and Most High. He gives them their provision, and He gives them health and security, and He cures them from illnesses, and He causes them to have compassion towards their offspring, towards their children. Allah causes the animals to have compassion towards their children, even though they do not have any hope of anything from their children. Yet despite this, they are tender towards their children and have pity towards their children. As a result of mercy from Allah, the Perfect and Most High. This is from the mercy of Allah, which encompasses everything. The animals and the believers and the unbelievers. So that is in this world. But as for in the hereafter, the Akhirah, then His mercy will be particular for the believers. In this world, His mercy covers everything. the believers, the unbelievers, the animals, and everything. He said, but in the hereafter, then His mercy will be particular for the believers, the mu'mineen. And as for the unbelievers, the kuffar, then they have no hope of the mercy of Allah, the mighty and majestic in the hereafter. May Allah's refuge is so. Then he quotes the Imam Ibn Qudam al-Maqdisi, quotes the ayah, which we'll finish on, inshaAllah. يَعْلَمُ مَا بَيْنَ أَيْدِيهِمْ وَمَا خَلْفَهُمْ وَلَا يُخِيطُونَ بِهِ عِلْمًا. Surah Taha, the 20th Surah, Ayah 110. With the explanation, He, Allah, knows whatever is in front of them and whatever is behind them, and they do not encompass Him with their knowledge. Shaykh al-Fawzan said, Hafidhullah, يَعْلَمُ مَا بَيْنَ أَيْدِيهِمْ. He, Allah, knows whatever is in front of them. He said, meaning, He knows whatever is in front of them. The Shaykh said, He knows whatever came in the past. وَمَا خَلْفَهُمْ, meaning whatever will come in the future. وَلَا يُحِيطُونَ بِهِ عِلْمًا, and they do not encompass Him with knowledge. He said, لَا يُحِيطُ الْعِبَادِ, and that should be a printing error, the last word here on the page, it says al-iyad, it's got two dots, it should be one dot, of course. لَا يُحِيطُ الْعِبَادِ, the servants do not encompass Allah, the Mighty and Majestic, with knowledge. So they do not know their Lord, the Perfect and Most High, meaning that they do not encompass His self and His names and His attributes and His affairs, He the Perfect. This is not known to the servants, except for what Allah has made the servants aware of. From that, all that's preceded there, the servants do not encompass that. They don't reach that with the knowledge, they don't encompass that, except for that which Allah has made them aware of, in order that they should know Him, He the Perfect and Most High, and that they should worship Him alone and attributing no partner to Him. So they have no knowledge except that which Allah, the Majestic and Most High, has taught them. Not even the angels, for they say, Subhanaka la ilma lana illa ma 'allamtana. Even the angels say, how perfect are you, how free of imperfections you are. We have no knowledge except for that which you have taught us. And we saw the Shaykh, this is a correction here, a correction the way I translated the and gave the explanation of the ayah. And Shaykh al-Fawzan clears the other way around. That يَعْلَمُ مَا بَيْنَ أَيْدِيهِمْ وَمَا خَلْفَهُمْ. Allah the Most High knows whatever is before them. بَيْنَ أَيْدِيهِمْ, meaning that which came in the past. وَمَا خَلْفَهُمْ, meaning that which will occur in the future. Alhamdulillah, wa sallallahu ala Muhammad. Any points of clarification? Another correction here. The ayah from Surah Al-Hadid, as we were mentioned. No, ayah 4. It sounded a bit 57th surah, 57th ayah, it sounded a little mighty. It's the 50th surah, the way we Shaykh quoted, that there are seven places in the Qur'an where it is affirmed, Allah istawa ala al-arsh, He ascended upon the throne. And the seventh one that was quoted, the sixth one that was quoted, was from Surah Al-Hadid, 57th surah, it should be ayah 4, not ayah 57. There aren't 57, as we've mentioned, there aren't 57 ayahs in that surah. Again, it's a printing error, it should be 57, 4, or something like that. So it's 57th surah, but ayah 4. Just to, as a reminder as well, sometimes we point out that some of these points, they seem straightforward. But they only seem straightforward because you haven't heard some of the, alhamdulillah, you haven't heard some of the falsehood which some of the deviant sects, which they come with. Alhamdulillah, some of the times these points, they seem very straightforward. Of course, like the point we mentioned before, that the point Sheikh Al-Fawzan mentioned, that scholars mentioned before, that we say about Allah, that He is As-Sami, the All-Hearing. And this includes that He hears. Somebody might say, well, okay, that's straightforward, we know that. But of course, there are many people of innovation that they deny this. They deny this and say the opposite. They will say, we'll affirm that Allah is As-Sami, but that's just a name for Him. That's just His name. It doesn't mean anything. There's no meaning behind it. We don't affirm any attribute from it. So there's sometimes, very often, there'll be points here which will seem straightforward, but you need to pay attention to them and make sure you understood it and grasped it, just in case you bump into, save us from bumping into much of this deviation that is to be found. Separate. On the same point, that a lot of the deviation that has occurred within this ummah is in with regard to this very matter, this very chapter here, which is why the people of knowledge have given such attention to it, and why they included the matter of Allah's names and attributes, His attributes, and principles about His attributes. So that's why you'll find that, for example, in this book, there's a very large section on this. This section continues for a large part of the book, because of the importance of it. Also, the most important thing that a servant can gain knowledge of is knowledge of his Lord. Knowledge and awareness of Allah. That's the most important knowledge a Muslim can get hold of. Knowledge and awareness of Allah. And of course, a person gains knowledge and awareness of Allah through his attributes, through his names, his perfect names, his perfect attributes that he has sent down and informed us of, sent down upon the tongue of his Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, as Shaykh Al-Fawzan said, so that we should become aware of him. That we become aware of our Lord through his names, and through his attributes, and therefore that it increases us in ibadah of him. It increases us in the purpose for which we were created, that we should worship him alone, attribute no partners to him. So that shows the crucial importance of it, and yet many people went astray, so that again shows the importance of grasping these matters and these principles. What we say with regard to Allah is you have to be careful. Sometimes some fools bring an argument and enter you into an argument that you don't need to enter into. If you know the answer to something, and you hear somebody ask you a question, you know the answer, then answer. If you don't know the answer, then don't enter into the argument. Because sometimes they say, logically, isn't this the case, and isn't that the case, and you're not careful to open the door of logic, and your foot can slip this way or that way. So the fact is that we affirm for Allah, as the people of knowledge have mentioned, that Allah does whatever He wishes. He does whatever He wishes. And we're very careful with our wordings, and the people of knowledge mention this. يَفْعَلُ مَا يَشَاءَ For Allah the Most High affirms about Himself, يَفْعَلُ مَا يَشَاءَ He does whatever He wishes. So we affirm that He does whatever He wishes. And then with regard to having wives or having children, Allah did not wish to have wives and did not wish to have children. And then, in addition to that, we say, because that wife, we say that that is a deficiency. No doubt it's a deficiency. We don't really say, Allah does whatever He wishes. With regard to wives and children, then that's a deficiency. And Allah is free of all deficiencies. As for, then they try and turn it around and say, oh, what is what's possible or what's not possible, or what, that Allah does whatever He wishes. Indeed to that. Some people make the mistake of starting to say such and such is impossible for Allah, such and such is impossible for Allah. I mean, they use the word, He's not able to do such and such. So they start ascribing deficiencies to Allah. He's not able, He's incapable. And we don't know. Allah does whatever He wishes, and He's free of all imperfections.
Субтитры сделал DimaTorzok